All right, welcome. Welcome so much for coming to share the Dharma. Thank you so much. And on behalf of Seattle Insight, I'd like just to welcome each one of you for this wonderful evening. I'm Tim Guile, one of the guiding teachers here at Seattle Insight.
So welcome, everyone. It's a kind of special moment when we get to have the two communities really come together like this. We have people who've come for this weekend from Germany, people who've come from the East Coast, from California. So I just really want to rejoice and appreciate the kind of convergence of Kalyana Mitta today. And we're especially honored, of course, by the visit of Tanajan Jayasaro and also Ajahn Sudhanto from Pacific Hermitage. And just to say that 3 years ago, I came to Seattle, and since then, Clear Mountain has started to grow, and in large part based on the practice and the community that Seattle Insight seeded and has been cultivating for all these decades. So the chance to come together and do these regular shared events with Tim and the Seattle Insight community is a real blessing, and we're very grateful. So, Tim, thank you for organizing all of this, for all the Seattle Insight volunteers, for Cheryl, for Adam, for everyone who's come together to make this happen. Just if we could get one big, sparkly sadhu. 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 So we'll give it to Ajahn Kobilo to introduce Tanajan.
Well, as Ajahn Isabel said, we're so blessed to have Ajahn Jayasaro here. Tanajan was born in 1958 in the Isle of Wight. He traveled the world as a late teenager, and in 1978 made his way to Thailand, where he eventually ordained with Lumpur Cha at Wat Nong Pophong. He's basically been living there in Thailand ever since. He was the abbot of Wat Bananachat, the International Forest Monastery, and still lives in Thailand and travels internationally. He's the author of both the Thai biography of Ajahn Chah and the English language biography of Ajahn Chah, which is Stillness Flowing, highly recommended. So Tanajan, thank you so much for being with us.
And just while we have a moment, also really want to acknowledge and honor Ajahn Sudhanto, our other visitor. Ajahn Sudhanto was born in 1968, I believe, and after finishing a Bachelor's of Fine Art at University of Oregon, set off on an open-ended spiritual pilgrimage through Asia, becoming a disciple of Longpor Cha in 1996, and taking full ordination 1994, and taking full 1993, and taking full ordination. And then in 2007, spent his first rains retreat up in the Pacific Hermitage area near White Salmon. And since then has been the abbot and founder of Pacific Hermitage, which is one of the wonderful monastic communities in the Northwest. So we're very grateful. Ajahn Sudhanto has been a great guide to us since the start of this project. So thank you for coming, Tanajan.
Good evening, everyone. I'm very happy to be here, and hello to everyone watching on the screen. And so we're going to begin with a period of meditation for maybe 30 minutes, and then I'll give a talk, and then like to give plenty of time for discussion, questions and answers, as you may well have things you'd like to ask or things you'd like to discuss or argue with me or teach me something, that would be really great. It's pretty well one-way traffic the last few days, so like have someone teach me a few things would be great. So begin with a period of sitting meditation. Please take a posture. that you are comfortable with, but not too comfortable. So meditation is just everyday life. It's not anything very special. It's both special and not special. It's time to spend some quality time with your own mind. And it's an exploration and an education and a way of learning all kinds of useful life skills. First one is, it's kind of a holy grail for most of us, a balance between effort and relaxation. So most of us, when we put in effort, we get stressed out, and when we relax, we're completely lacking in all mindfulness and restraint. So how do we find a balance between effort and relaxation? Meditation is a really good means to do that, because the body and the mind are a very efficient feedback system. So we choose an object, for example, the breath, and we place our attention on the breath, and we see what happens. So if we try too hard, too much effort, and not enough relaxation, then the breathing is uneven, unnatural, maybe get some headache, some constriction in the chest. This is the feedback system telling you too much effort, not enough relaxation. If you're putting your focus on the breath, but the mind's wandering here and wandering there, or you're getting dull or getting sleepy, those are indications that there's too much relaxation and not enough effort. So meditation is a joyful kind of work. It's not a relaxation technique, but it's the opportunity to learn about right effort in a special environment. So the only really key difference between what we are trying to do here or in the meditation hall on our cushions and what we should be trying to achieve in daily life is simply that in formal meditation we manipulate our surroundings. Excuse me. So we try to minimize all the obstructive conditions and maximize supportive conditions. That's the only difference. But we have the same challenge. How can we look after our mind in such a way that as yet unarisen, unwholesome mental states cannot invade and envelop the mind, or in the case, the occasion that unwholesome negative mental states have already arisen, then we have the challenge to learn how to let go of them, abandon them in the most skillful way. We have the opportunity to learn how to introduce into the mind in a systematic way wholesome, uplifting mental states which as yet have not arisen in our minds. And finally, we have the opportunity to learn the skills of recognizing, nurturing, and encouraging these mental states that have arisen, bringing them to maturity. This is the work of meditation, the work of protection, the work of abandonment, the work of introduction, and the work of cultivation, development, bringing all wholesome mental states to maturity. As we practice the phenomena that arise, physical and mental phenomena, are feedback, information, helping us to tweak, to fine-tune our effort. There is nothing at all outside of the practice which is impinging upon our minds and preventing us from meditating, because it's all the meditation. There's nothing outside of the meditation, because the meditation is our life. Of being mindful of your breath is mindful of your life right now. This is the real world. So this phrase, the real world, is used in a very thoughtless kind of way by most people, and have certain ideas, maybe that the real world is the cutthroat environment of dog eats dog, and that's the real world, and we're off in a fantasy world, or we're escaping from reality into some peaceful, blissful state, but sooner or later we'll have to face up to the real world again. That's not how it works. We're meditating means that we are coming face to face. We are encountering the real world as we can know it, the real world of direct experience. We're aware of the breath. We're aware of feelings, the feeling tone, are pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. We're aware of the mind, which is focusing on the breath. We're aware of the mental states, the unwholesome, the wholesome mental states. So we're aware of body, feelings, mind, mental objects. We're aware, or to put it differently, we're aware of the mind, and vedana, and sanya, and sankhara, and vijnana, the five khandhas. This is the real world. The five khandhas of the real world. It's the real world that we can experience directly, not something that we've created, something that we believe in, but something that we can see. And we're learning how to base our lives more firmly, found our lives upon real experiences of the body, of feelings, of perceptions, of thoughts, and knowing things for what they are, rather than living from ideals about how things should be, or desires how we want them to be, or fears about how we believe they might well turn out in the end. So this is what we're doing when we're meditating. We're coming back to earth, coming back to the real world, spending some quality time. We're giving the mind a job. Very simple job is watch the, be aware of the in-breath and the out-breath. What could be more simple than that? And we're learning from what makes it difficult, what makes it more difficult, what makes it easier, what is conducive, what is obstructive. This is all part of the meditation. It's not applying a technique in order to get a result. It's embarking on a learning process and becoming a true observer and learner of our experience and of our real world.